This is The Good Fight on EWTN Radio. For more information about The Good Fight, go to EWTN.com and click on Radio. Here again is Barbara McGuigan.
Welcome back to The Good Fight, and this is our very last segment with Susan Tassone. Just a great, great lady. And she wrote a book called Day by Day with St. Faustina. That's what we're talking about. This entire 2 hours, we've been talking about this book that has blessed me so much. I am so grateful to God, as I said earlier, that Susan put pen to paper. And here's an entry called A Noble and Delicate Soul. And this is on January 29th. See, Susan, you can buy this book and then you just pick up where it starts, right? Not where it starts, but like the date that you're on, the day that you get the book.
Yes, it's done liturgically too. So, it's done liturgically. So you're going to be able to take you wherever you're at. It's going to take you through that point in the liturgical calendar. They're not scattered. The passages were not picked arbitrarily, Barbara. They were picked because there were central key themes that I mentioned that were repeated over and over again that I wove through the diary to help those that, if you haven't read the diary, it'll help you walk through it. If you have, it'll help you apply it.
Yes. And that's the beauty of this. I don't think there's another daily devotional like this, based on St. Faustina. And right?
That's what's so exciting, Barbara. That's what makes the book unique. It's never been done before. It's usable. It's prayable. The bishops loved it that were reading it. It's done liturgically. For example, March is focused on Lent. May is about Our Lady and her relationship to Faustina. We've got November, of course, is purgatory. December, it's got something for everyone. And in fact, the part of the reason I did the book is the Daughters of St. Paul told me, Barbara, that when people come in their store, they say they read the diary, and after they read it, they don't know what to do with it. And that's happened. I had a couple, even the bookstore, the big gift shrine bookstore, the shrine, the gift shop at the shrine in Stockbridge said, yeah, that's a mouthful, but
right.
They said the Divine Mercy Shrine staff told me that people call in and ask if they have a day by day. So I'm happy to say it's a comprehensive introduction to her writing, and it's a solid answer for those asking how to apply her teaching and example in life. So I'm really pleased and grateful that the result is a book that doesn't have just a little something for everybody. It has a lot of something for all of us, no matter how familiar or unfamiliar you are with the diary of this great saint.
And that's the truth. I haven't read the entire book. I've read a lot of the book, I must say, but I haven't read through the entire book. So this blessed me so much.
It's daunting.
It really is. But here, a noble and delicate soul. Do you want to read this, Susan, or do you want me to, and you read the reflection? It's up to you.
Yes, you read the, like we've done, I'm a good student. You read
you're my teacher.
Passage, and I will read the reflection.
Okay. Sister writes, a noble and delicate soul, even the simplest, but one of delicate sensibilities, sees God in everything, finds him everywhere, and knows how to find him in even the most hidden things. It finds all things important. It highly appreciates all things. It thanks God for all things. It draws profit for the soul from all things. And it gives all glory to God. It places its trust in God and is not confused when the time of ordeals comes. It knows that God is always the best of fathers and makes little of human opinion. It follows faithfully the faintest breath of the Holy Spirit. It rejoices in this spiritual guest and holds on to him as a child holds on to his mother. Where other souls come to a standstill and fear, this soul passes on without fear or difficulty. That's from the diary 148, A Noble and Delicate Soul. How did you respond to this, Susan?
Barbara, tell me the date. I just lost my place.
January 29th. In the little book, it's page 31. Yeah, I'm back to January. I couldn't get out of January.
You like that page.
Okay. I love January.
We're heavy on January. Here's what we said. Today's quote is a good checklist for us. It's worthwhile to slowly read through it again.
Amen.
Even to write it out as a list. What can we do today, this week, this month, to grow closer to become that, quote, noble and delicate soul, St. Faustina describes, the soul God wants us to be.
There you go.
That one line jumps out at me again.
Oh,
the soul that God wants us to be. You know, he wants us to be an image of him. He wants us, you know, that Polish saying, you become the one you befriend. And another way that she did was adoration.
Yes.
She's called St. Faustina of the Blessed Sacrament.
Right.
And what is EWTN? It's a power. It's the powerhouse of adoration. And,
yes.
You know, adoration is, you know, after the Eucharist, what do? We're called to adore. We're called to adore our Creator. And if you think about it, Barbara, what does Pope Francis and John Paul and Mother Angelica and Saint Mother Teresa and Faustina, what do they have in common? Adoration.
Adoration.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Pope Francis. Yeah, 5 years. People don't know this. I did research in the last 5 years of his pontificate. He wanted he encouraged adoration throughout his whole pontificate. I've read about that, and I've read where he asked for a church in every diocese in the world to be open 24 hours a day. Now, why did they rely on it? Because adoration is a part of all the saints' spiritual life, because it transforms lives, and it transforms you, and it transforms the world.
Yeah. We need that radiation, don't we? We need the radiation from oh my gosh. It's so beautiful. And you put in the book as well. And you know, I want to ask you, Sophia Institute Press, I love Charlie McKinney and all of them at Sophia. They published the book. So you can certainly get it at sophiainstitute.com. I'm not sure if I feel pretty sure you would be in the EWTN religious catalog.
Oh my gosh, yes. They have, yes, it's selling quite well. Yeah, people and I always say, and I've done this when I'm on the air, any radio station, I do say support EWTN because they're evangelizing. We
of
need
course.
To support, you know, charity begins at home,
yeah.
And, you know, make that extra effort. That money is helping to evangelize and spread the wonderful works and documentaries and our beautiful, rich, rich faith. So
yes.
I say go to EWTN Religious Catalog. Yes, they would be happy to take your order.
And
first.
EWTNRC.com. EWTNRC for Religious Catalog.com. So you can get it there as well. And I'm sure it's all over wherever you want to get it. But it's already sold 10,000 copies for Pete's sake. And you'll understand why I like this about this book. I'm so blessed by this book. And on July 3rd, okay, now we're getting into July a little bit, Susan. So
yes, indeed.
A prayer of healing.
I thought you were going to go to July 22nd,
I'm going to do that next.
Okay, you caught that one too. Yep.
No, you told me about it.
Oh, I did. Okay.
To be honest.
Okay.
But we'll do that next. But this is beautiful, and I could really relate to this. I wrote something, you know, God knows I'm not trying to compare myself to St. Faustina, but I had the same experience of writing about the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. And I got it at Holy Communion after I was back to the pew and kneeling there. But she said in the prayer of healing, when I received Holy Communion, I don't know why, but it was as if something were urging me to this prayer, and I began to pray in this manner. Jesus, may your pure and healthy blood circulate in my ailing organism, and may your pure and healthy body transform my weak body, and may a healthy and vigorous life throb within me, if it is truly your holy will that I should set about the work in question, and this will be a clear sign of your holy will for me. And how did you respond?
July 3rd.
203.
Today's quoted scenes that St. Faustina is asking for a Jesus transfusion for better
yes.
physical health.
Yep.
Not for the sake of health itself, but so she'll know if she's to do what she thinks our Lord may be asking her to do. Something that's beyond her physical abilities right now. It's a faith-filled and deeply spiritual way to better discern what God's will is. It's a method, a prayer we can use ourselves. And, of course, how do you know God's will? And it's through prayer.
Sure.
What did she say right at the start, Barbara? When I received Holy Communion.
Yep.
That was
That's
her
it.
Life. Holy Communion was her strength. She said at one point, and it's in the book, I don't know what I would do if I, you know, if I didn't receive Holy Communion. Many Christians speak of the importance of a personal relationship with our Lord, which is really true, but it's primarily through the Eucharist that we can have this encounter with our Lord. I like what Benedict said, Benedict 16th, he pointed out this connection. He said this, he says, today there's a need to rediscover that Jesus Christ is not just a private conviction or an abstract idea, but a real person who's becoming part of human history is capable of renewing the life of every man and woman. Hence, the Eucharist as the source and summit of the Church's life and mission must be translated into spirituality, into a life lived according to the Spirit. You know, the Eucharist gives life. The Eucharist it destroys venial sin. The Eucharist, you know, it gives you a personal relationship with God. It's spiritual consolation. We're cared for. We're looked after. We were not left orphans. He left us his body and blood. He's still here.
And look at all the Eucharistic miracles. Pardon me for interrupting.
Look
at all the Eucharistic miracles. Oh, good night, nurse. I mean, because a few weeks ago, we celebrated the body and blood of Corpus Christi, yes. And so I was just reading a lot of different things. Of course, I'm funneling this all to my family, you know, my siblings, basically. They had never even heard of the miracles. There are many miracles of the Eucharist, some more famous than others, but, how can this is all documented. People actually saw these things happen right before their eyes. So I just find it sad that, we have so much work to do in the vineyard, don't we?
Yes, we do. And it's, you know, you have the same, you know, issues like everyone else. I mean, I have these books and, you know, does my family read my books? I don't think so. I think they like the covers and they probably flip through them, you know, and they go, wow, you know, but believe you, when they need something or they're in pain, they call me, you know,
and there's your
openings, you know, you just be an example. You keep the door open. You show them love.
That's it. That's all you can do. And you take it and you love them. You try to love the sin right out of them is what you try to do.
And you know, there's always a torchbearer, I think, in a family that carries the prayer torch.
Yeah.
So if you're it, then, you know, keep doing that. You pray for them. Fast. That's very powerful. It's that prayer life. You know, my books don't bear fruit without the prayer. It's always the prayer. Mother Angelica would tell you that. Any great saint, you know, that's the most important thing is your, you know, the sacraments. It's the rosary. It's the mass. It's adoration. In fact, if you can't adore, Faustina, I discovered that she's spiritually adored. She's spiritually adored.
Yes,
she was so sick, but she would stay in a room and face the tabernacle. And I find out that this was a very common thing that happened in monasteries where monks and nuns would ask for cells, which were their rooms, to face the tabernacle, and they would spiritually adore in that direction. So you can do spiritual adoration at home and have your own little altar and adore.
You know what? This comes to my mind, and like I say, you know, I am the most cracked vessel the Lord has to use, trust me. But I was having, I had just had a knee surgery, and I went to kneel for adoration. And because I couldn't kneel to begin with, only on one knee, I didn't go right in front of the monstrance like I always do. I couldn't, it hurt too much to walk that far. So on the right side of the church, I just went and knelt there. And so the monstrance was not, I was not facing it spot on. Do you know what?
Mm-hmm.
As I am kneeling there and pouring out my suffering to the Lord, the monstrance was right in front of me. And it was a crazy experience. I mean, maybe it was something in my mind that just said, I wish I had gone to the front like I always do and be faced head on with it. But it was head on to me. So, I mean, I don't know what you want to call that, but it was quite an experience. It really was. And
He comes to us in so many ways every day. And he just, you know, he just wants us to, you know, follow his will, avoid mortal sin, stay in the state of grace, and receive this love and mercy that he wants. He just wants to pour on us. You can take a whole show with that. You know, the beauty and
how
love every
does.
Day. You know, we have our ups and downs, but they're easy. They're a lot easier than if you don't have them. In fact, you talked about you just mentioned something. You mentioned, Barbara, about going to the Adoration Chapel, and what she did was, and this was something that jumped out when I was doing St. Faustina Purbrook for Adoration. Most of the time, she couldn't get to Adoration, or when she did, the majority of the time, she spent moments, minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Which gave me permission to say, it's okay, I can't sign up for an hour, I can't stay a half hour. She did the majority of the time, she was just stopping by, just like you did. You stopped by, you couldn't get to the front. Well, he came to you in some very mystical way. And that's what she did. Just say hello to him. He wants you to talk to him. He wants to pour graces on you. He wants to transform you and become the one you befriend. So moments and minutes were very common in her adoring.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I do remember reading that about her. Well, let's go to July 22nd, a Niagara Falls of
July.
Mercy.
Yes.
You start. Page 222.
222. And here's the prayer that we used, or the passage that the one we talked about, the one that our Lord promised for a conversion of a soul. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. And our reflection is, we tend to think of a fount as a quiet spring or delicate water fountain, but Saint Faustina said Christ's blood and water gushed from his heart. In that sense, it's a Niagara Falls of love, a flooded river of grace, a tsunami of forgiveness. It can knock us over, sweep us away, and lift us higher and higher and closer to him.
Beautiful.
And the prayer is, Dear Jesus, I'm at your mercy. Thank God.
Jesus, I trust in you. Wow. It's, my goodness, I've never heard it described like this, like Niagara Falls of love, a flooded river of grace, a tsunami of forgiveness. Wow, that was such a beautiful way for you to write that. That was incredible. It's really inspired. This book is really inspired. And all glory goes to God. I mean, we know that. We have enough good sense to know that, for Pete's sake.
Oh, yeah, it's like, how, after you do a work, and I go, how did I do that? You know,
right.
You don't remember.
Like,
I don't remember how. It's him, and I say to him, you did a good job. He does a very good job. This is his work, and I just do what I'm called to do, pray, fast, rosary, mass, stay close to him, the sacraments. And as you said, beg for mercy. I feel like I'm her secretary, Faustina. Well, of course, I see Faustina every day. We have her relic at the cathedral here in Chicago, and so I'm there every day saying, well, I need your help. I'm stuck on something. And but you do your part. Do your part, what he asks you to do. Do his will and do what the church has. And it just, miracles, sometimes they're shocking, the miracles. And I say this book was shocking. I was just delighted to be able to share this with everyone.
It is shocking. It is. It just touches you deeply. It's called Day by Day with St. Faustina. You buy it, you pick it up where whatever the date is when you get it, you start reading, and then you can just keep it up. And I'll tell you, I was shocked. I was really so surprised. It's the best one I've ever read as far as a daily
praise God.
Devotional.
It's all for him and Faustina and to save souls. And there's one other thing in there, Barbara, that people don't know about. One of the Marian fathers called me, and it's in the back on page 401. He said that there are promises that our Lord gave to Faustina that anyone that would pray to, promote, and trust in divine mercy, that our Lord had promises, and that are not printed. He said they're not well known. Would we put them in there? Well, oh my goodness gracious.
You did.
So they're in there, the promises. And then also there are promises when you pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. They're in there as well. So that was something really unique that I was very happy to put in there. And of course it's done by feast days, special feast days, key feast days, and also feast days that were important to Faustina's order.
Yes, and you have the whole novena to the Divine Mercy as well, and it really is something. It really is something.
That novena, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go. That's fine.
Well, I was just going to say the novena, again, what I learned was is he wants us to pray that novena year-round, and it's really, as I did more research, that it's a novena for the conversion of the world. So that's the purpose, to put that in there, that we're praying for the conversion of the world.
And, you know, Susan, we've probably talked about, maybe 8 to 10 of your entries in the 2 hours that we've been together. My brothers and sisters.
I feel like we went through the whole book, Barbara.
There are 365 reflections. We've only talked about 8 or 10. I didn't count them. But they're 365. So if this show blessed you, and of course you can get it on a podcast. This one I just love because this show is all about saints and future saints, right? And we're all called to be saints. That's why it's so important. That's why I call all my guests future saints, because we have to have an ambition for heaven. You have to want to be a saint to enter heaven. It's November 9th, page 343,
oh,
Susan.
You're in purgatory territory.
I'm in purgatory territory here. And here's what I loved. I rejoice greatly, she said, Sister Faustina, at the fact of how much the saints think of us and of how closely we are united with them. Oh, the goodness of God! How beautiful is the spiritual world that already here on earth we commune with the saints. So you replied, how did you reply?
Saint Faustina is telling us, yes, the saints can hear us, and not just canonized saints, but our own loved ones too.
Goodness.
Those who have died are thinking of you, are praying for you, are loving you, and they're waiting, ready to answer your prayers. So it's not done alone. It's the whole mystical body. It's the, you know, it's the church triumphant, reaching down, you know, to the church suffering and joining with the church militant all together. We're not alone.
And I mean, that is just an incredible thought. I mean, most of us knew that, you know, they loved us and they want to be with us and everything. And I didn't know the souls in purgatory were praying for us either. So, I mean, I learned something new. But boy, I just was really blessed when I understood that they can hear us. They can hear us.
Oh, yes. The guardian angels also tell them who's praying for them. Absolutely.
Okay, well, now I don't want anyone to forget that you can go to EWTNRC.com to get Day by Day with St. Faustina, 365 Reflections by Susan Tassone, T-A-S-S-O-N-E. And I mean, we've been talking about this book for 2 hours, and we could talk about it for probably 2 hours more, wouldn't you say? So,
well, we covered a lot of purgatory ground, and I think the souls will be happy with that too, because say, how did you connect Faustina with purgatory, and how did I veer off to Faustina? And it really was a call that the Marians called me, one of the Marian priests, and said she had a great love for the souls in purgatory, Barbara.
Well, you had a definite calling. Let me tell you, I want to say a thousand thanks for being with us today. May our great
pleasure.
God
Thank
shower you,
for you
with blessings, and God keep you ever in his care, dear lady. And I want to thank Jeff Burson a million times for producing The Good Fight, for all of you who listened. Until next week, let us continue to fight the good fight and run the race until we run right into the arms of Jesus and his tender mercy. Bye for now.